so that you can make a new.
By Inexplicifix.
Read by
Inkling Dancer as the voice of Eskul.
Flightless Not Fightless as the voice of Triss.
Mingotard reads as Stefan.
This is XKS reads as the voice of Artek.
Separate Entity as the voice of Ivar.
Flower Parish as the voice of Merton.
Chantress as the voice of Yennefer.
Lunikiria as the voice of Trace.
Pulsares as the voice of Renz.
Shadowed One as the voice of Vesemir.
Orchata as Ciri.
Literarian as Geralt of Rivia.
Medusian Allure as the voices of Yaskier and Keldar.
Raven as the narrator, and edited by Devil with a Bird Dress.
Rated for teen and up audiences, no archive warnings apply. Category, general audience. Fandom, The Witcher, all media types. Relationships, Eskel, Geralt of Rivia, Yaskier. Cirilla, Fiona, Ellen Viennon, and Geralt of Rivia. Additional tags. I Shook a Witcher in an Intergenerational Trauma Fell Out. Trial of the Grasses. Planning for the Future. Government. This story is part 51 of The Accidental Warlord and His Pack, and part 47 of The Accidental Warlord and His Pack Recommended Reading Order. Summary. At the Midwinter Meeting, two important matters are brought before the Warlord's Council. Eskel looks around at the council as they settle into their chairs, several of them draping furs around their shoulders or over their laps. The draft has been repaired, thanks to their dwarven guests, but it's still damn cold in here in the heart of winter. He didn't plan it this way, but the Midwinter Meeting does seem like an oddly appropriate choice for the discussion he and Geralt are going to lay before the whole council. The turning of the year, the dying of the old sun, and the birth of the new. A day on which they need not worry that their guests will need attention, since the Nilfgaardians are all busy with the ceremonies proper to the sun's return.
So we have two important matters today,
he says once everyone is seated and looking at him and Geralt expectantly. The council has expanded somewhat in the last couple of years. It's not just the seven schoolheads and him, Yennefer, Vesemir, and Geralt anymore. Now there's Yaskier, and Triss, and Ciri, and Mouse, and Livy too, all of them looking keenly interested in the proceedings.
Triss has an announcement, and then Geralt and I have a question to place before us all.
There are nods around the table. Eskel looks at Triss, who smiles and stands.
I am extremely pleased to announce that Yennefer and I have at last discovered a way to make the Trial of the Grasses less torturous.
Instant hubbub results. Eskel grins as Ivar slaps the table in triumph. Stefan whoops. Tracy and Merton embrace each other. Even big, solemn Artek rumbles in approval, and Renz is grinning fit to crack his cheeks. Old Keldar gets up and bows over Triss's hand, kissing the back of it gratefully.
How?
Ivar demands as Keldar sits down again.
I thought we'd tried every possible variation. What did you find that wouldn't interfere with the mutagens?
Triss beams, clearly delighted to share her brilliance, and gives Ivar a nod, then looks around the table.
As you all know, for some years, Ivar and I and Lambert and Leocadi had been working on inventing a potion which would dull the pain of the grasses. Unfortunately, all the potions which showed any potential to be strong enough to mitigate the agony contained ingredients which would have had fatal interactions with the necessary ingredients of the grasses. The ones which are in all the grasses, regardless of school. So we abandoned that line of inquiry.
Ivar nods in confirmation, clearly eager for her to continue.
Potions having been proven ineffective at best and actively dangerous at worst, Yennefer and I began investigating spells which might alleviate the pain. Our first thought was to simply cause the pain receptors in the mind to not register anything for the duration, But to our dismay, we discovered in experiments on mice that in a small but persistent fraction of subjects, those receptors, once made inactive, could not be made active again.
And a witcher who can't feel pain is a dead witcher,
Merton says grimly.
Even so. Obviously, then, that was not the answer. Our next theory was that we could perhaps simply block the pain from reaching those receptors, and initially that seemed to work quite well. The mice were utterly unconcerned by any painful stimulus, but unfortunately, when we tested the technique on volunteer witchers, it became clear that you mutagens consider any such blockage, magical or not, to be an injury and work to erode it. Depending on the patient, it took between half an hour and 3 hours for the block to fade entirely. Yennefer and I agreed that we did not want to learn what sort of effect using those spells on trainees as they gained their mutagens might have.
Stefan winces.
No, that sounds like a terrible idea.
Triss inclines her head.
Incapacitating the receptors and blocking the stimulus from reaching them are the usual methods by which spells alleviate pain. So Yennefer and I had to get a bit creative.
Yennefer nods.
It turns out,
she says,
that if one looks at it properly, pain is only energy, like lightning or rushing water or chaos. And, like those, it can be redirected if one knows how to build dams or lightning rods.
And where are you directing their pain, then?
Ivar asks, frowning. Triss grins.
Well, Yen noticed that our wards have been tested several times in the last little while, and obviously we don't wish them to be broken. So, we're channeling the pain into the wards. Anyone who tries to breach the wards on Kaer Morhen will find as the first layer of defenses all the pain which our trainees will not be feeling as the grasses work their changes.
Oh, now that's clever,
Tracy says, grinning nastily.
That ought to deter anyone who feels like testing the wards, and no mistake.
Very clever,
Ivar agrees, smirking.
I like it,
Ren says.
Are you sure it will work?
Absolutely,
Triss says.
We tested it already. Comac came in with that nasty acid wound a month ago, and we asked his permission to redirect the pain while I treated it. He said it stopped hurting immediately, and when Yennefer poked the wards, they had a new layer. A thin one, of course, from one witcher's pain, but still. We've tested it with four other witchers and Mistress Laret, and an ungrassed trainee who broke his leg, and all of them reported a complete lack of pain, while the attempts to investigate our wards have been reduced significantly since we began lacing them with pain.
It's not hard to set up, and it doesn't interfere with the grasses at all,
Yennefer puts in.
The trainees will still need to be watched closely, of course. But they won't spend 3 days screaming.
Thank fuck.
Arctic rumbles.
Never liked that sound.
None of us did,
Vesemir says.
One question,
Merton asks slowly.
Will you be taking all of their pain?
Triss and Yennefer exchange a glance.
That was the plan,
Yennefer replies, a frown creasing her forehead.
Well, not all of it,
Triss disagrees.
Pain's useful. If it increases suddenly, it means something has gone wrong. But almost all of it, yes.
Merton shakes his head.
Not all of it,
he agrees.
Most of it, yes, certainly. We do not want our cubs screaming as we had to scream. The wolf's strictures against torture apply to our trainees as much as anyone, surely, but...
He frowns hard, drumming his fingers on the tabletop as he thinks.
The choice to become a witcher, which means something now, should have a cost.
He says at last.
We all paid it. We do not want our younger brothers to pay the same price. but to join us without any cost at all seems wrong.
Eskel sees his own thoughtful frown mirrored on every witcher around the table. He has to admit, Merton has something of a point. The trials are trials. If becoming a witcher is painless, is easy, then it doesn't quite seem right somehow.
Growing pains,
Artek says, surprising everyone.
No stronger.
Eskel considers that. Growing pains aren't pleasant. He remembers that well enough from the year he shot up 5 inches in as many months. But they're not agony.
If nothing else, that hell makes sure they stay the fuck in their beds.
Renz agrees.
Growing pains. That seems appropriate.
It does, at that.
Stefan says.
Growing pains.
I think the trainees would actually prefer that.
Ciri says, startling Eskel and drawing all eyes.
They want to be witchers, but they want to earn that place. Painless grasses would feel too easy, I think. Like they had cheated somehow in their trials. But if they're giving most of their pain to the wards to help protect their brothers, I think that will help a lot.
A very good point.
Tracy says slowly.
Can you do that?
Vesemir asks Yennefer.
Take only most of the pain.
Certainly.
Yennefer says.
Like having a spillway in a dam. I would have to rewrite the spell a little, but it would not be complicated. Is that the final decision?
Everyone looks to Geralt, who is clearly thinking hard. Eskel knows Geralt still wakes up gasping sometimes from the memories of the second grasses, from twice the pain Eskel ever endured. Geralt's scent is laced through with grief, with rage, with remembered pain. Eskel winces slightly. Around the other table, the other witchers grimace or glance away. Vesemir looks even older than Keldor for a moment, weary and full of sorrow. And then Geralt looks at Ciri, and his scent lightens, turning slowly from grief to sweet hope. Eskel's breath catches in his chest.
You shall come,
he asks softly. Ciri nods.
I've talked to the trainees about it. They know becoming a witcher has costs. They want to prove themselves. They should get to, shouldn't they, Papa?
Geralt takes a slow, deep breath and nods.
They should,
he says with grave finality and looks at the mages again.
Growing pains. Yes. Thank you, Triss, Yennefer.
Vesemir says.
First you give us the gift of the testing potion, and now this.
We are in your debt.
Eskel agrees. Around the table, the other witchers nod. Geralt rises and puts a hand to his chest and offers Triss and Yen a shallow, solemn bow. Every other witcher in the room mimics him. Yen looks shocked. Triss's eyes are suspiciously bright, as though with unshed tears.
Thank you,
Geralt says solemnly.
It was our honor,
Triss replies, bowing to them all before she takes her seat again. There's a general rustle as the witchers, too, sit down.
It's a hell of a lot more pleasant and satisfying to be finding ways to save lives and spare children pain than to be figuring out how to take petty vengeance on whoever's pissed off some stupid king or other.
Yennefer says, smirking as she regains her composure.
There's a reason we follow the wolf, you know.
She gets a number of approving nods from the rest of the council. Eskel grins.
Which leads nicely into the matter Geralt and I need to place before you,
he says. Geralt takes a deep breath and stands again, drawing all eyes.
You all know,
he says into the waiting silence.
I never intended to become a warlord, nor to bring the schools again into one order. I only meant to slay a single monstrous king.
Jeskir makes a soft, dreamy sound, and Eskel glances over to see that the bard has his composing expression on. He smothers a grin.
For 2 decades now, I have been reacting to tribute, to invasions, to a daughter, to bards.
Geralt gives Jeskir a quick flicker of a smile.
But our trainers have drilled into us. A witcher who only reacts is a dead witcher.
There are nods around the table. Vesemir grunts agreement.
So, I called the schools together. We slew a monstrous king. We have made ourselves again kinsmen, allied under one leader and serving one goal. To slay monsters in whatever guise they appear. We have stopped being merely wanderers of no more value than our swords, merely tools in the hands of our makers. And now...
Geralt sighs.
We rule and protect 3/4 of the North. Soon enough, we will have Provis and Sintra too, in alliance or inheritance. We need to stop reacting and start planning.
Eskel nods and rises to join Geralt, standing shoulder to shoulder with his beloved lord.
At the rate things are going, we're going to hold everything north of the Ammo Mountains within the next 2 decades. The kingdoms we don't govern will still have binding treaties with us and hold themselves to the most important provisions of the Wolf Law, just to keep us from getting angry. And there's a decent chance that when Emir dies, our cub's going to end up Empress of Nilfgaard, and we'll be extending the Wolflands all the way from the Dragon Mountains to the southern tip of the continent, and from the Blue Mountains west to the sea.
Everyone glances at Ciri, who looks solemn and somehow much older than her 13 years.
Shit,
Stefan murmurs.
Don't think I put that all together before.
Eskel gives the crane a rueful expression.
It's so big it's hard to look at.
He agrees.
Ciri pointed it out, actually. And the small council's been spending a lot of time discussing it. It's what makes Emir's actions make sense. He wants the North as well as Nilfgaard, and he thinks Ciri's the key to his grand legacy. Which he won't be getting. But the long and the short of it is, if we're going to do this, if we're going to be the rulers of the Wolflands, a place where everyone has rights and can live in relative peace under the protection of the reunified Witcher schools, then we need to start doing it right.
The progress will be part of that.
Jeskir chimes in from his seat on Geralt's other side.
We'll be using it as a way to gather people from all over the Wolflands in order to start building the bureaucracy that an empire genuinely does need. Can't all be on Eskel and Livy. Sure, the Wolf's vassal kings handle most of the day-to-day issues, but there's still a lot we need to deal with, and more with every kingdom we add to the Wolflands.
Just so.
Eskel agrees.
But there's more to being the protectors of the Wolflands than a bureaucracy. And that's what we all need to discuss. Because to be perfectly blunt, what we genuinely need is a lot more witchers.
More, oh.
Slowly, Merton nods.
We're covering a lot more ground now.
More ground, and in groups rather than singletons.
Eskel agrees.
And we're not just hunting monsters anymore. We're hunting monstrous men, too. And looking out for non-humans, and acting as assistants to magistrates, and ensuring that the local lords are keeping the wolf law, and keeping an eye on the vassal gangs.
All that and more.
Ivar says thoughtfully.
So yes, we need a great many more witchers, and we need to start training them now, so that in 20 years, when we really need them, they're ready to set out on the path.
We need more mages, too.
Yennefer puts in.
6 of us were enough when it was just Caidwen and Caingorn and a bit of Adairn. Now, we're stretched pretty damn thin.
No Bannard bastards.
Artek rumbles.
No.
Yennefer agrees.
No Bannard bastards. And no Aretusa bitches, either. Triss and I are thinking that what we need to do is start our own school. Start collecting the children of the Wolflands who have conduit moments, and train them alongside the Witchers to be the mages of the White Wolf. Teach them ethics and so on, instead of an appetite for power.
Where the hell are we going to put all of this?
Stefan asks.
Kaer Morhen's big, but it's not big enough for, what, 4 or 5 times as many trainees and a whole clutch of baby mages too, plus whoever we bring in from the Progress.
We're going to need more keeps.
Eskel says simply.
Keldar, if your school is willing, Kaer Seren would be perfect for a mage school.
Keldar's eyebrows rise.
Aye, it would.
He says slowly.
There are none living near enough to be in danger of mishaps.
He hums.
I will ask it of my school. This is not a decision for me alone.
Thank you.
Eskel says.
If we make her off the king, what a hornet.
Renz inquires pointedly. Yennefer nods.
As to that,
she says,
once we've found and warded any new keeps, not just for the new mage school, I'll get Istrid down from Caingorn, and Tiziana in from her wandering, and we'll install a set of permanent portals here, probably near the Xenovox room.
Permanent portals?
Merton asks, leaning forward with a frown.
They're like the ones in the letterboxes.
Yennefer explains.
But large enough for people. I was thinking they could be linked to the medallions we all wear. That only the rightful wearer of a medallion could pass through the portal, or someone they're willingly carrying.
Ren says, frowning thoughtfully.
So fetching you from Kaer Seren would be as simple as going up to your office.
Essentially, yes.
Yennefer agrees.
And if we can find some other trustworthy mages, druids, maybe, or some of the more powerful hedge witches, I could be a guest lecturer at the school and still spend most of my time here.
Ivar nods.
So, a school for mages. Aye, that's wise enough, and gods know we could use some more trustworthy mages. We'll have to stop in at Aretusa and Bannard on the Progress and see what sort of shit they're up to.
It's already on the list,
Yeskir says cheerfully.
I think Jens already picked her best intimidating outfits, too.
Ivar nods again in satisfaction.
So, Kaer Seren for the mages, and then what? Build more keeps around the Wolflands?
Stefan muses.
and station some of us at each one?
Eskel nods.
We have a great deal of credit with the dwarves of Mahakam after Temeria. We haven't asked yet, but I expect they'll be happy to build us new keeps for perfectly reasonable prices, and by the time the keeps are done, we'll have the witchers to fill them.
Keeps designed for us,
Ivar says, eyes lighting up.
Oh, I have some ideas.
And what of Hearn Caduch and Gorthr Gavaed?
Artek asks.
We'll be asking Calanthe of Sintra if she objects to us claiming Hearn Caduch as an embassy.
Eskel says.
We'll make a good southern post to keep an eye on Nilfgaard, too. I don't expect she'll object. She likes having witchers through to clear out the monsters as much as any monarch does. And she'll want to stay friends, so we'll give her access to Ciri and Lady Ellen. And if we do end up taking Nilfgaard, then Gorthr Gvaed will be a fine outpost there, though we'll doubtless need others, as large as Nilfgaard is. But that's a problem for later, or so I most sincerely hope. As it is, Gorthr Gvaed is in the treaty as an official Wolflands embassy.
If Emhyr keeps the treaty.
Tracy points out.
That's the trick.
Ivar agrees.
Emperors aren't known for keeping their words, and the Var Amrice dynasty tend to be sneaky fuckers in my experience.
He is smart enough to know that breaking the treaty would be his death.
Geralt says.
Smart and sensible aren't always synonyms.
Ivar observes wryly.
Especially not in emperors.
True.
Eskel sighs.
That is a problem for another day.
Geralt says firmly.
We should plan to be betrayed, yes, but hope for honor. When I meet him again this autumn, we will see what he is truly made of. For today, what say you all to making more witches? To building more keeps? To training our own mages? To admitting to ourselves at last that we are the rulers and protectors of the Wolflands and must do that work to the best of our abilities.
White Wolf.
Vesemir murmurs, eyes shining little.
White Wolf!
The council choruses in one great roar of sound.
If you're going to do something, best to do it right.
Ivar adds.
We need more witchers, and we'll need more of them yet in a decade or three. Better to start now.
He shrugs.
We've got the orphanages and the testing potion. I don't see any reason we can't start taking a batch every year instead of every three.
We'll need more trainers, but I can think of half a dozen of our kinsmen who would be fine teachers.
Vesemir says thoughtfully.
They never have been, because they have no taste for the cruelty that was our way before. But now.
Now.
Stefan agrees, nodding vigorously.
I can think of a few as well.
We can use the progress to ensure all the new vassal states are building more orphanages.
Tracy says, making a quick note on a slate in front of him.
Make sure we take new boys from all across the Wolflands and not just Caedmon.
Why only boys?
Ciri asks. There's a sudden silence, and every eye turns to her.
The Manticottans are as much witchers as any of the other Grast trainees.
Ciri says, straightening her shoulders and meeting their stares without quailing.
Dragonfly and Raich and Vesper and Sarit are as competent and deadly as any of their brothers. I can hold my own amongst the trainees. Why should there not be female witchers?
The silence stretches out as the school heads all glance at each other, brows furrowed in thought. At last, Tracy says,
I'm not going to be the one to tell my little sisters they aren't every bit as deadly and skilled as their brothers. I like my balls attached, thanks.
Nor will I so insult Serret.
Ivar agrees.
Never had women among our ranks before?
Renz protests, but weakly.
Yes, and we've never been the guardians of entire countries before.
Merton says sharply.
This is a time for new things. I see no reason a girl shouldn't be a trainee if she can drink the testing potion and pass the tests of wit and temperament and makes the choice.
Slowly, Renz nods. Stefan grins. Artek shrugs.
We will take boys and girls from across the Wolflands.
Tracy says, adding a quick scribble to his note.
And I will ask Ratch and Vesper if they wish to join the ranks of trainers.
Vesemir says, nodding.
At least once there are lasses amongst the lads.
We'll need a lot of room if we're taking trainees every year for all 7 schools.
Stefan says.
And are we keeping it to 3 a year per school or more?
Better be 3 per school, just for now.
Eskel says.
Add more once we've got more trainers.
Very wise.
Keldo agrees.
We shall fill Kaer Morhen brimful of likely lads and lasses.
Maybe use Kaer Sarin for some of the training until we get some mage students.
Merton suggests.
Let the patrols know we're looking for places to build more keeps.
Artek puts in.
Bet there's some spots our lads have noted here and there.
The council dissolves into half a dozen separate conversations. Keldar and Yennefer discussing Kaer Sarin, Renz and Ivar pointing out possible keep locations on the big map hung in the wall, Tracy and Mouse huddling together to discuss who knows what, and Eskel sits down with a sigh of relief. Geralt does the same, without a sigh, but his shoulders lose some of their tightness.
That went well,
Yesker says quietly. Geralt leans over and kisses Yesker gently.
It did.
He agrees.
And I...
He goes quiet. Yesker and Eskel exchange a look of complete understanding.
You're finally admitting to yourself that this is more than killing a single monstrous king?
Yesker says gently.
That you reshaped the world and made it far better, and yet in doing so have only made yourself a ruler of kings and kingdoms.
Geralt nods.
Very tempting to go up mountain,
he murmurs, leaning over to rest his forehead against Yaskir's shoulder, and Yaskir laughs and strokes his hair. Eskel chuckles.
If it helps,
he says.
We are helping. Are doing a lot more good than we were when we were just wandering monster slayers.
He grins at the slightly skeptical look Geralt shoots him over his shoulder.
Livy has ledgers. Yesterday, she was showing me the improvements in road quality and how they affect trade. Did you realize we haven't had even a little famine since the 3rd year after you became Warlord Wolf? Because we can get the food where it needs to be, even when a whole duchy has a bad harvest year. Because you ordered that the lords do so, that no one be left to starve.
I hadn't realized, no.
Geralt says, wonderingly.
Bless Livy and her ledgers.
Yesker says cheerfully.
I never wanted to be a king.
Geralt murmurs, sitting up again and giving Eskel a deeply grateful look.
No.
Eskel says.
But better you than anyone else.
Far better you.
Yesker agrees and grins.
I'm going to have to write a song about today, you realize. The wolf looks down upon his crown and thought on blood and bones.
Must you look?
Geralt asks, but there are crinkles of amusement around his eyes.
Always.
Yaskir says.
You realize we're going to need more bards, right?
Geralt and Eskel exchange a look of mild terror.
How much trouble do you think multiple bards can get up to?
Lots.
Geralt replies, and Yaskir goes off in a peal of laughter that rings from the room's stone walls, mingling with the sound of the Council of Kaer Morhen making plans to change the future. On purpose, this time. Afterward. This was beta'd and improved immeasurably by the wonderful Rose, finest beta in the fandom. I offer thanks also to the lovely folks of the OWOW Discord server, who are always enthusiastic and full of encouragement, and to everyone here and on Tumblr who offers kudos, comments, questions, and delight. I know how the series ends, and I am going to get us there, I promise. Go out and make the world a little better, in whatever way seems best to you.
Separate entity reader's notes. Thank you to Inexplicifix for providing blanket permission to Podfic. And thank you to all my co-conspirators on this project. If you enjoyed the story, please leave comments and kudos for an X at the original work, which is linked in the text of this Podfix post. And if you enjoyed our reading of the story, we also enjoy comments and kudos. Best wishes!